The Bible tells us to be ready in season and out of season. In other words, like, you know, when he just says, speak, speak. You know, I was with my shop on Thursday when Sharon rang and I said, I can't come, I can't stand up, lost my balance. So it's just amazing how just things were just fitting. Because people are ready and able and available to stay in. And that's what a church is really about. It's about people have been built up into that place where they can just step in and just be faithful to the Lord. And I just got a word that it wasn't the word I was going to bring next Sunday, but I just felt it was a now word. I just felt it was God's, but maybe made an occasion. You know, I'm not saying he gave Carol a Sharon an ear infection so she couldn't speak this Sunday, but it's amazing how things work and God can move things around and he can change the word to suit. So I just sense in my spirit this word is specifically for somebody or maybe more than one person today. And I want to talk to you today about the woman with the issue of blood. This is what God really laid upon my heart. This woman who had been 12 years dogged by this sickness that had just rendered her unable to fulfill the life that God had made for her and got for her. And that's part of what I want to really share about this morning. It's just about this woman. But it's encapsulated in Luke chapter 8 amongst a whole chapter of miraculous things that took place. And you know, when I started looking at this, I was just drawn to other things as well. It really was quite an exciting chapter in Scripture. So just as I was reading it through, although just this last couple of days, I sat down yesterday morning and it's not very often these days I write songs or poems. I used to be quite prolific in writing poems years and years ago. But the weight of church, I tell you, folks, it does. And pray for leaders in churches and people that will carry responsibility, because the weight of it. You know, a 7-year period of not writing a song. It was only when God prophetically spoke through a man into my life that suddenly this song was released again. You know, and I find myself quite now, since he's been in Spain, quite unable to put pen to paper as such. So this is quite exciting on Saturday as I sat there by the computer and suddenly the words of this song, this poem come into my heart, and I just wrote it down. And you know when it's from God, because it just, you don't have to move your things around too much. You just write the words. And I want to read the poem before I do anything else this morning. I just sense that there's a real power in this. It's called The Hem. Years of striving through life's struggles, seeing nothing for her trials, spending all to rid her burden, peace for her had been denied. All seemed hopeless. Desperation filled her heart and pushed her down. Then a light broke through the darkness. That man Jesus was in town. Oh, if I could only see him. Oh, if I could only just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Oh, if only. Yes, I must. So she set out meaning business, but the crowds just blocked her out. No way forward, no way backwards. Would she give up? Would she shout? Undeterred, she pushed on forward, neath the legs of many men. Then she saw him, her faith building, stretching out. She touched that hem. Oh, that sense of pure forgiveness. Oh, the grace that filled her heart. Body healed, spirit lifted. Life was good, a brand new start. Who has touched me? Jesus asked them. Touched you, Lord, his followers asked. With so many pushing, reaching for his attention was their task. Someone here has really reached out. Because healing power's gone out of me. Someone really has meant business. Show yourself. I want to see. Courage rising, she stepped forward and fell right there at Jesus' feet, saying, I just knew that if I touched you, Jesus, you would set me free.
Go your way, the Saviour told her, for your faith has made you whole. Because you pressed on through to reach me, here your story will be told. Go in peace, my precious daughter. I will be with you each day, for your faith has been rewarded. You have found the perfect way. Life for you will now be different. What was dirty is now clean.
Yeah.
And as I wrote that out, it was just, I just really sort of, I try to keep it as neat as scripture as possible without artistic license and whatever. I just sense that was my take on the story. And in Luke chapter 8, you know, it's just an amazing portion of scripture, really. It just talks about the miracles that Jesus brought to the people that were in contact with him. And right at the very beginning of this 8th chapter, we start reading about the miracles that Jesus did. So Luke chapter 8, which I'm going to read in a few minutes. But I just want to talk basically just that this Luke 8, as we read about what Jesus did and what happened in this chapter, these 55 verses of pure miracles. Miracles all the way. It starts at the very beginning, talking about the victory that Jesus had over demonic possession. And there was, straight away we hear about Mary Magdalene. You know, Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. You know, and she followed him all the way through his ministry. She was one of the few that were standing there at the cross the day that they crucified him. You know, the impact that Jesus made on this woman's life changed her life. Changed her. She was never the same woman again after that. And she followed him everywhere he went. She was there. When the rest of them ran away, she was there. When they went to the tomb, she was there. She was there. The impact that this man, Jesus, made upon her life. It's interesting that he cast 7 demons out of her. You know, 7 is the biblical number of completeness. You know, he made her life complete that day. He cast those demons out and her life was changed. Her life was complete. He had made her new. He put her in a place where she was useful for the kingdom. She wasn't any use to the kingdom before. And then we go over in quite a few verses on, and we see in verse 33, it talks about this man who was running naked in the graveyard, basically, full of demons. And some scriptures say that he was called. He asked Jesus, said, "Who are you?" Sort of thing. "What is your name?" And the young man never spoke out himself, but out of his voice came the demonic voice that says, "We are legion. We are many." You know, in my translation that I'm using today, the Passion Translation, it says, "We are mob." That's the most modern sort of way. "We're a mob, we're a crowd. You know, we're not one. You know, beware of us, we are," you know, but they recognized straight away the power that was in Jesus. And they said, "Don't cast us into, you know, the pit." And so if you remember the story, Jesus, there was a herd of pigs and Jesus said he'd be gone and into the pigs, and the pigs ran over the cliff and drowned in the water that way. But you see, this man had an encounter with Jesus, full of demons, full of stuff. Years he'd run naked. Everybody had tried to do something with him. Impossible. Couldn't get through to the man. He was just a crazy man. He was a crazy man. But Jesus had victory. Verse 33, over demonic possession, he cast out the evil spirits. It's amazing what Jesus did. See, Jesus had also the victory over the powers of nature. And there in verse 24, and I spoke about this a month or two back, about Jesus calming the storm, when all the disciples were in the boat and saying, "Jesus, don't you care that we perish here? Don't you care that we're dying?" And there was Jesus lying. We're at the steering, we're at the helm, where he could have grabbed the rudder and steered them, but he said, like, you know, "Oh, ye of little faith, You know, have you not been with me this long? And do you still not understand? You know, the safest place to be in the storm is with Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but when that squall came yesterday, it came out of nowhere. You know, yesterday morning we're coming out to church, and when he took the dogs out, it was calm and peaceful, nothing there. And suddenly she said, I think it's going to rain. I said, yeah, no forecast for rain. But within 10, 15 minutes, suddenly the sky blackened, the rain started to come, the wind started to blow. You know, it must be like that. You know, when they set out in the boat for the other side, and Jesus had told them, take me to the other side, he'd already told them where he was going. They weren't going to drown halfway, they were going to go to the other side. So when they got into the boat, it would have been nice and calm, but suddenly, the storm comes. And isn't that just like us in our lives? You know, so we're going away quite merrily, quite happily, and bang, you know, something hits us. You know, something major comes across our pathway and floors us and knocks us for six. You know, we need to remember, like this story here, that's told here in verse 33, Jesus, he said, peace be still. That's all it takes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He just says, peace, be still. How majestic is our amazing God this morning, that he calms the storm. Jesus has power over demonics. He has power over nature. And then there we go, towards the end of the chapter, victory over death. And there's Jairus' daughter dying, and Jairus coming to the Lord and saying, Jesus, please, you know, come. You know, come and heal my daughter. You know, and then right at the very end of the chapter, we've got this beautiful picture of Jesus there with this 12-year-old girl saying, you know, just rise up. Come out of your sleep, rise up. With the wailing outside, with the unbelief that Jesus had pushed out, so that I don't want you in here with her. I want people who believe in here today. Out you go. Do your wailing away from here. She only sleeps. Oh, what a fool this man is. Our Jesus is no fool this morning. You know, and he spoke those words of life. Daughter, come out of your sleep, arise. Right at the very end of the chapter. But they're tucked in here. Tucked in this beautiful chapter on miracles. We have this story of this woman who struggled for 12 years. It's interesting that Jairus' daughter was 12 years old and this woman had struggled for 12 years. Yeah. With this bleeding problem. You know, a problem that made her unclean. A problem that made her not acceptable in the community. You know, what a place to be in. But it was not too big for Jesus. And there we see in verse 44, victory over disease. You know, it wouldn't have mattered whether she'd had the disease for 1 year, a week, 10 years, 40 years. Jesus spoke the word. And she was whole. She reached out and she touched him. See, Jesus is not fazed by the power of the storm in our lives. You know, he was asleep as the storm raged. But he doesn't sleep. When the storms of our life, all we have to do is call out to him. Lord, help me. Reach out to him. Lord, help me. Jesus was not fazed by the number of demons involved in wrecking lives. And as I said, Mary Magdalene was freed of seven. The notorious madman was free from many. You know, when you read it in verse 39, he didn't stop there. You see, when Jesus healed this man, he didn't just stop there. And suddenly, he was just in his right mind, the scripture says. If you read it, carefully. There in Luke chapter 8. And it actually says that not only was he in his right mind, but the people, the testimony of what had happened, went around the area. It says lovely words. It actually says that Jesus told him to go back, and he actually said he went and told. So this young man, full of demons, running naked for years amongst the tombs, suddenly became a man who was preaching the gospel of Jesus, telling the good news to others that Jesus can do amazing things. Look what he's done. What a testimony. What an amazing thing. You know, we've all met people in our lives with major problems. And, you know, when God does something in that person's life, you know, the testimony of that just races around everywhere. It was amazing. But you have to look at what happened when Jesus went in, when Peter and John went into the temple that day. And they saw the lame man at the side of the gate beautiful. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you. There was a leaping and a praising of God that day. Something had happened. You know, and no matter how much the legal people, the leaders, the Pharisees, the lawgivers of the day tried to hush this thing up, there was no hushing it up. When you get a man who'd been lame for 40 years, leaping all over the place and shouting, a man that people have walked past day after day after day and seen the state he was in, suddenly rise up and leaping and praising God and whatever. There was no doubt about what had happened. You know, it wasn't a little miracle. This was a biggie. This was a big miracle. And I want to just make it quite clear today, whatever the size of your problem, whatever the size of the miracle that you need today, Jesus is big enough to deal with that situation. Jesus is big enough to reach into that situation. But are you desperate enough to reach out to him? Are you desperate enough today to reach out to him? And this is the amazing thing that comes out in the story of Jairus and this woman with the issue of blood. There's two words to use in both stories. One word is used in both stories, sorry. And that word is desperate. Or desperation. Let's read it. Let's read it through. I just want to read you through that story now. I'm going to start at Luke 8, verse 40. I'm going to be reading from, you might find it easier to listen to me because this is quite a different translation. And it says, when Jesus returned to Galilee, the crowds were overjoyed for they'd been waiting for him to arrive. The verse 41, just then a man named Jairus, the leader of the local Jewish congregation, fell before Jesus' feet. He desperately begged him to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter, his only child, because she was at the point of death. It says here, Jesus started to go with him to his home to see her, but a large crowd surrounded him. In the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered greatly for 12 years from slow bleeding. Even though she had spent all that she had on healers, she was still suffering. Pressing in through the crowd, she came up behind Jesus and touched the tassel of his prayer shawl. Instantly, her bleeding stopped and she was healed. Jesus suddenly stopped and said to his disciples, someone touched me. Who is it? Whilst they all denied it, Peter pointed out, Master, everyone is touching you, trying to get close to you. The crowds are so thick, we can't walk through all these people without being jostled. And Jesus replied, yes, but I felt power surge through me. Someone touched me to be healed. And they received their healing. And when the woman realized that she couldn't hide any longer, she came and fell trembling at Jesus' feet. Before the entire crowd, she declared, I was desperate. There's that word again. I was desperate to touch you. There was Jairus, desperate to get to Jesus, desperate for the sake of his daughter. And there was this woman with desperation. I was desperate just to touch you. I was desperate to touch you, Jesus, for I knew if I could just touch even the fringe of your robe, I will be healed. Jesus responded, beloved daughter, your faith in me has released your healing. You may go with my peace. And while Jesus was still speaking to the woman, someone came up from Jairus' house and told him, there's no need to bother the master any further. Your daughter has passed away. She's gone. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus heard this, listen to these words. When Jesus heard this, he said, Jairus, don't yield to your fear. Have faith in me and she will live. When they arrived at the house, Jesus allowed only Peter, John and James, along with the child's parents, to go inside. Jesus told those left outside who were sobbing and wailing with grief, stop crying, she is not dead, she is just asleep and must be awakened. Verse 53, they laughed at him, knowing for certain that she had died. Jesus approached the body, took the girl by the hand, and called out with a loud voice, my sleeping child, awake, rise up. Instantly, her spirit returned to her body, and she stood up. Jesus directed her stunned parents to give her something to eat and ordered them not to tell anyone what just happened. Two miracles there that I want to just home in on for the next 10 or 15 minutes this morning. Two amazing, amazing, amazing miracles. And I just pray that you will just receive something from this today. As I said, there's the one word that appears twice there, and that's that word desperation. And Jairus was desperate for his daughter's healing. She was only 12. And he fell at Jesus' feet and he begged him to come and heal her. He didn't come and pray. He didn't say to him, "Jesus, come and pray for my daughter." He says, "Jesus, come and heal my daughter." Oh, there's a step of faith to start with, like, you know. Yeah. So often, aren't we? Well, come and give it a go. You know, just come and just almost like go through the motions. Just come, like, you know. No, Jairus knew. Something within his heart was saying, you know, if I can only just get to this man, and if he would only come, he will set my daughter free. He will bring her back to life. He will give her the life that is oozing out of her bit by bit. You know, there was a time factor involved in Jairus as well. He just knew when he came to look for Jesus, he knew that she hadn't got long left. So he was like desperate for him to come now, Lord. Not in a little while, but come now. I need you. I need you here. I need you at my house, because if you will just come, I know you'll heal her. Come and heal my daughter. Please, Lord, come. He begged and begged and begged. And there was this man of means, a man of authority. But he surrendered to his authority that day. He said, come to my house and come and heal my daughter. I know you can do it. He put his faith into action. But in the crowd that day, there was another desperate person that we've read about this morning. This woman that had been struggling for 12 years. You know, she was desperate for a change in her life. She was desperate. You know, and this was going to maybe be her last chance. You know, see, Jesus, as I've said before, he had 30 years of training for 3 years of ministry. Yeah. You know, she hadn't got a long time span to reach him in those days. We're different. For us who have Jesus within our hearts today, we take him with us everywhere. We don't have to go looking for him today. He's here. He's here. Can't get any closer than soul and spirit today. He's here, you know, and if we love him and given our hearts to him, our spirit is being renewed. It's our soul up, our flesh part that wrestles with it daily. Can he? Will he? You know, maybe, if, but. You know, this is the struggle that we have physically. But, you know, the day we gave our life to Jesus, he totally renewed our spirits. Our hearts are changed forever. You know, but our bodies fight. You know, our willfulness, our flesh fights against it. This is what... So, but in this story, she had to go looking for him. It was different then. She was looking for him. But she knew she was in town. I wonder why that day was different. I ain't got an answer for that. I'm throwing it out to you this morning. I wonder why that day was any different to her. The only factor I can see is the fact that Jesus was in town. You know, there was no other difference. The day was the same as everything else. That day she knew. Something within her rose up and said, if I could only get him, if I could only meet him, I just know that something's going to happen today. This is my day. You know, so often I've had days like that, and I really believe you've had days like that, and you haven't perhaps been desperate enough sometimes to just reach out. When there's an appeal gone, and you say, oh, well, maybe it's not for me today. When you know that Jesus is calling on you, the Holy Spirit is moving and drawing you, and you say, well, no, maybe not today, maybe the next time, you know. And we're so easy put down the opportunities we have of coming to him, of meeting with him, of being with him, of letting him deal with issues in our lives. Put it off for another day. This woman couldn't afford to put this situation off one more day. This was the day, and she must have known there was something different. Something drove her that day out of the house to go and look for Jesus. To go and look for him. She didn't know that Jairus would have just come and begged Jesus to go to his house. The scripture says he started going in the direction of Jairus' house. What an amazing thing. Maybe if he hadn't, she wouldn't have found him. But because he went towards Jairus' house, suddenly, you know, she's there. And can you see the picture this morning? Can you see the crowds, the mass of people gathered around Jesus? Like, he was like a magnet for everybody. A magnet for those that just wanted to be with the big guy when he's in town. Like, you know, and when you see great evangelists come, the amount of people who want to be at the front with the evangelist, you know, want to be up tight, up close with what's going on there. You know, and this is human nature. We want to be, you know, amongst When, you know, I've often said in the past that there's lots of people want to be where Jesus' hands and his face are, but there's not so many that want to be at his feet, worshipping him, and that's what he calls us to be. He calls us to be down there. We want to be up there where he is. He says, come down to where, you know, where it's necessary. Come and sit at my feet. Come and listen to me. Let me share with you. You know, but we want to be his face. We want to be like, oh, I can do it for you, Jesus, you know. And our humanness gets in the way so many times. But this day, this woman left her home and she set out on a mission. So today is the day. If only I did. And she wasn't even bothered about actually physically touching his body. She said, if I could only touch the hem. See, the prayer shawl was quite an important part of a priest's attire. And that prayer shawl was a very, very precious thing. And she thought, if I could just touch, one of the tassels, if I could just get through this crowd today. She knew there was going to be a crowd. She obviously could hear them from a mile away. You know, they were there, and everybody was in his face, and everybody was pushing and jostling him. Everybody was like there on the move with Jesus that day as he headed towards Jairus' house. You see, she had 12 years of living an abnormal life. You know, there's some people today who live all of their lives abnormally. But she had 12 years of abnormal life. She had 12 years of sickness, 12 years of suffering, 12 years of being shunned, 12 years of being unclean as far as others were concerned around her, 12 years of hopelessness, 12 years of being broke, because scripture says she spent everything she had on people to heal her, on bogus remedies and stuff, gone to other people. As I was reading this, I thought, aren't we like that? Don't we try everything else first, often in coming to him? Don't we go the route of we'll try anything but Jesus? You know? And as Christians, that, you know, he should be our first call to call. But so often we think, we'll do it ourselves. Oh, she's too. You know, there's nothing too little for my Jesus this morning. There's nothing too little for him to do in my life. Because he loves me. He's come out this morning. The majesty and the meekness of him. He loves, you know, he's a great and mighty God. And yet he reaches into your little situation and my little situation. But this day, it was a big situation. Mm-hmm. It was almost life and death to this woman. She heard that Jesus was there. And this sick, suffering, shunned, unclean, hopeless and broke lady determined in her mind that she somehow was going to get to him. As I said, he maybe would be her last chance of living a normal life. And she wasn't going to miss this chance, not for anything. She was going to get there. Maybe she thought, I've got nothing to lose. You know, there's other people in Scripture who had nothing to lose. The thief on the cross after Jesus had nothing to lose. You know, there was two. One received him, one rejected him. The one that received him had nothing to lose, everything to gain. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Another very similar Scripture. Crowds around Jesus. Jesus heading towards Jerusalem, towards the final part of his ministry before they crucified him. And there was Bartimaeus, the blind guy at the side of the road. The son of Timaeus, hadn't even got a name. Another one, nameless person. Jesus loves nameless people. Amen. You don't have to be the big preacher, the big pastor, the big evangelist, the big Christian. You know, Jesus loves people with no name, with no titles, with nothing, but just the people that they are. And there was Bartimaeus at the side of the road shouting out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And you read again in that account, it says Jesus stopped. Jesus, you know, see, when we cry out, Jesus stops and he listens. As simple as that cry can be, just a tiny little cry of desperation. Father, just I need you now. It can be a huge shout. And Bartimaeus had to shout over the crowd to get Jesus' attention. He couldn't get to him. There was too many people, but he shouted. And even when they said, shut up, don't disturb Jesus, shut up. You know, he's on a mission, shut up. It says, the scripture says, the more that they told him to shut up, the more he shouted out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And there he was, shouting and shouting and shouting, until Jesus stopped. And he says, And again, similar to this woman with the issue of blood, something within him said, somebody really means business with me today. Somebody's desperate enough to shout. And there was this man shouting. And Jesus stopped. Bartimaeus had nothing to lose. Scripture tells us that Jesus gave him back his sight. And he let go. See, he had a cloak that would be across his legs where people would throw the money that he would receive. And he was willing to throw that cloak away, his means of living, his means of surviving. He threw the cloak away, and it says that he followed Jesus into Jerusalem. There's nothing else said about him. Maybe he was one that was murdered for the sake of his testimony for what Jesus did. I don't know, he doesn't say any more about him, but basically he was following Jesus to death as he went into Jerusalem, because a week later Jesus would be dead on that cross. But a life for every one of us who know him. Getting back to this lady, just see the picture, as I said, of Jesus there with all the crowds, and she'd have been so put off by that, I'll never get to him. And I thought to myself, Andrew, aren't you like that? We can all be like that. We can give up because it just looks too much trouble to get to him. But she didn't, she persevered, she pushed on through her determination, that she was going to push on through that day. She had enough, the sickness was bigger than her, and this day she meant business. And as she got nearer, it says that she pressed in, she pushed away. In other words, you just imagine it, like there are Ryanair flights when you come in into the air, and you all get up to get your hand luggage out, and everyone's like this. I'm first, but everybody's pushing their way. There's a fight in the aisle, get the luggage now. Even before the plane stopped, half the time all the belts are off and people are fetching the luggage down because they don't want to be, they want to be off, and it's like that. And I can just imagine this woman. I remember Wendy once, we coming back from America, and my guitar was in the cabin, the stewardess was so upset with me for pushing my way through with this guitar that they told me I couldn't take in the cabin. And I basically said, if you'll pay for it, sign a document for me, because you would pay for any damage to it, because I knew it would wreck it being in the cold hold. And anyway, she let me have it. Anyway, it, almost to get her own back, she put me down about 15 rounds in the overhead locker. And of course, when we got to land in Birmingham, he threw it back, I remember what it was, I sent Wendy down to get it. I know that she's not like me, and I would be, oh, excuse me, like, man, don't wait. I'd get that guitar, we want to be off first, I could just see this woman fighting her way through, like that. Come on, I've got to get to him. But you notice that when she came to him, she never came to him face to face. She came to him and he was at his back. That's the only way she could get to him. See, but it didn't matter. See, it didn't matter that she saw his face and she saw him face to face. It was just important that she fought her way through. She got to that place where she's willing to fight her way and not give up. Not give up on the way. And sometimes we do give up on things. God's told us something and we give up too quick. We knock, and then we walk away and Jesus says, yes? Is it like that? The moment we walk away, the door opens and we say, well, you'll be knocking. And I've been getting something ready for you, but you just didn't knock long enough, right? But we want everything to be so quick. But she fought her way through. She got there and she approached, and I could just sense that the anticipation that she, the closer she got to him, she just knew, I'm there, I'm nearly there. Press on in. Find your way around here. If I can just get to him. And she touched him. And that was enough. Don't give up too quick. Because so often we can give up when we're just there. Just at that point, any time there, she could have given up and she could have walked away and gone back home, and she could have struggled for another 12, the rest of her life with this problem that she had. But it said the instant that she touched him, that what she set her mind to do, if I could only just touch him, it doesn't matter, he's not looking at me, it doesn't matter. I'll get away with this, just touch him. But Jesus wouldn't have any of it. I just really believe, that Jesus knew exactly who it was that touched him. When he asked the question, who touched me, he knew. But see, he wanted her to admit that it was her that touched him. He wanted her to say, it's me. So often it's the word of our testimony that brings freedom for us.
Yes.
And we testify. We say, yes, it was me.
Yeah.
I did it because of this. It was a stand up for what it is. And I'm going to tell people. She wasn't afraid. And she said, although it says she sort of carried him and fell at his feet. You know, he said, who touched me? And I really believe that Jesus knew exactly it was her. But he wanted her to say, this is why I did it. And she said, I just knew about if I could just touch, the hem would be gone. What an amazing story. What was Jairus doing? While all this was going on. You know, we've forgotten about Jairus in our story this morning. There's Jairus there standing with the crowd thinking, maybe, come on, Jesus. You know. And while this was going on, while Jesus was talking to her and, you know, and blessing her and everything, you know, there was this dear man whose daughter was dying. And he said, oh, you know, but it doesn't say anything in Scripture that he said he was moaning or groaning or anything. But Jesus heard them come and say, don't worry anymore. You know, she died and whatever. And Jesus picks up on it. He picks up on things that are said. You know, it's people. So often prevent us from getting to where Jesus wants us to be. People get in the way, just like the story of you today. People get in the way, and this people came with this story of bad news, and so often bad news can just break us. And poor old Jairus was here, you know. And for myself, if I was in his place, I'd be saying, "Please don't stop, Jesus. Please don't stop." You know, I mean, my daughter. You know, don't forget about my daughter. You know, all this was going on, you know, and so how he must have felt the moment that his friends came and said, you know, I'm sorry, but she's gone. You know, and then Jesus turned to her and says, Jairus, if you will just hold on to my faith, if you will just trust me in this, don't give up now. Don't give up now. Don't stop believing now. Just hold on to this. She's going to live. You know the story I've read. You know, God is not fazed by the size of my problems or your problems. He's not fazed by the problems within the church or without the church. He's not fazed by the problems in your household or your street, your area. He's not fazed by any of these things. He just says, give it to me. Bring it to me. Let me deal with it. You know, maybe we need some more determination in our hearts to push on through some of these situations in our life. You know, have we really had enough of the situations that happen? You know, do we really mean business? Are we going to push on through and say, it's enough, enough's enough? Are we dealing with situations that are bigger than us this morning? They're not too big for him. Have we tried everything else, but they haven't worked? Jesus doesn't mind being last in the barbecue, last in the list. He's just grateful that you would come and seek him out. How desperate are we for a change in our life? God has a purpose for your life today. Praise him. Now he wants to make us like new. And I don't mean patch us up. See, he never patched this woman up and sent her on her way. He made her new. He restored her. Completely. He made her and put her body right as if it was putting an original part of what he designed back in. So this is how it should work. This is a brand new one for you. It's a brand new part for you. You know, impossible? Yeah. In the natural, yes, but with God all things are possible. When God puts back. When God restores something, he doesn't use a bit of old wood that looks like the original. He uses a part of the original because he had the original plan. He would draw off his plan and he would draw from the original wood and make it right, make it perfect in every way. That's what our big, our God is. And my word of encouragement today, you know, why does it not always happen? Why does everybody not get healed? I don't know. You're talking to somebody here who threw his medication away and believed that God had touched him and set him free. It didn't happen for me. It doesn't happen for everybody. And I don't know the reason why it doesn't happen, but I sense sometimes in my life I've missed out on things because I just wasn't desperate enough for it. I didn't want to push on through. And the wonderful thing is today, and I finished with this morning, I've gone on a bit long, sorry, I just felt the need to say this today. You know, the reason I went through that stage in my life where I just felt so much that God was going to heal me and set me right, and for a while afterwards it shook my faith because I really believed that I was healed. And when the doctor 2 weeks later told me if I didn't get my medication again I was going to die, you know, and I don't know why it wasn't my time. I don't know. I couldn't have been more desperate. I called out to him, you know, and this man pulled me out of a crowd. I never knew him, he didn't know me. He told me, he read my book, my mail, he told me exactly what was wrong with me. And he said, God's going to heal you today. You know, we do things and we don't know sometimes why they don't work. But I know, I have to share with you this morning, is because of that, it drove me closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
It pulled me in more. I wanted to know more about him. I wanted to walk with him more. I wanted to talk with him more. And the most wonderful thing I'm going to leave you with this morning as I finish, is the fact is that we don't have to go hunting for him today. We don't have to leave our homes and go struggling down the street and say, where is he? Because when we love him and we know him, we carry him within us today. And it's all a matter of surrendering and submission. And our body, Paul said it, didn't he? Why do it? Why is it that every time I do something right, I do wrong? And every, you know, and vice versa. He said, well, I'm fighting to do this. And it's just margin that between our soul and our spirit that God has renewed, and we fight like that within ourselves. But I just encourage you to submit to Jesus, to give him those situations, let him deal with those things that are too big for you. This woman's situation was too big for her. She said, if only I'll give it to him. But he says to me, come all you that are weak, weary, and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to him today. I just really believe God will deal with you. Let's just pray for you. Father, I just thank you, Father, that we can learn from your word, Father, no matter what the situation is, Father, whether it's stuck in our minds, whether it's the weather, the nature, storms of life that bring, Father, whether it's sickness, whether it's death even, Father, that you are victorious over all of these things. And Father, we just come to you and we surrender our hearts to you this morning. And Lord, I just pray that as we do that, that Father, that you will just renew something within us, Father, that Father, you will restore, Father, those things within our hearts and within our lives that, Father, we struggle with. And I pray, Father, right for every single person sat here this morning, that, Father, there will just be a renewing taking place of all of those parts, Father. We're all of an age, Father, we're all wearing out. And, Father, nothing is too difficult for you. And I pray this morning, Father, that you would indeed, Father, just, we all want to go on forever, but Father, that if we could just reach one, if I could just reach one with the message of the good news, Father, that's enough. But Father, I can do that for you. So Father, we just lay ourselves at the foot of your cross this morning. And we say, Jesus, just deal with issues in our life. We hand them over to you. The biggies, the things that we can't affect. Father, you can do miraculous things. So Father, we just say, deal with our situation, we pray. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God.